I'd like you to open your Bibles for a moment to Colossians 2, verse 6, please. If you didn't bring your Bible, that's fine. It's on the screen. This is New Living Translation, I believe. Apostle Paul writes to the Colossian church and says, "Now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. Let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him, so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all he has done." Father, it's an incredible thing that you called and chose us. Of all the people on planet Earth, you revealed yourself to us. We have not earned it one iota. All your grace, you call, you choose. Lord, I'm reminded as I go out to tell people about you, that without you drawing and opening people's hearts, they're just lost. They have no desire for you. But Lord, that is not so with us who have chosen to put our faith in you, because you have died for us. You have opened our eyes to see what you did. And so I pray this Thanksgiving weekend, Lord, that we would indeed have hearts of gratitude just to continue to focus on all that you have done and all that you are doing in and through us, Lord, to bring us to full salvation and to bring us into your kingdom, which has already started. We're already in it, but there's a glorious appearing that will happen and we will be brought before the throne. We look forward to that day, Lord. Put in our hearts an eager expectation, loving your return, that we might be bold enough to share it with all those who need to hear. Speak to us, Lord, I pray, in your name. Amen. Book of Jude, please. That text kind of launched this little teaching, sermon, whatever you want to call it. I'm just going to start Jude chapter 1, verse 1. Are you thankful? Do you wake up every morning and say, "Wow, I'm alive today"? And God has given me another chance to experience him and his fullness and to learn more about him. I hope you wake up with that. You know, life is just so fleeting. In a moment, it can change like that, and life can be over.
Yep.
Just like that. I mean, you can go down the road, and a driver could be not paying attention, and poof, you're gone in an instant. Or you just go to bed that night, and you never wake up again. It's kind of the best way to go, but life is like that. It just, bang, all of a sudden, it all changes, and you realize your mortality, and like so many people I meet, even the one Eddie and I talked to on Friday, just living for the moment. Like for the now. I'm like, "Oh God, it's only like 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years. I hope not." And then we have eternity. Where do we spend it? With him or trying to quench the fire around us? Jude, Jesus' brother. Amazing guy. I would have loved to meet him. I will one day, probably. Brother of James. Do you know Jesus had brothers? So James and Jude are Jesus' brothers. They didn't believe in him while he was ministering for 3 years, till after the resurrection. Then they put their faith in him. And they became leaders in the church. And so Jude opens his epistle, his letter to this church, and says, "Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ." Can you imagine growing up with Jesus and now calling yourself a servant? Like, it's a guy you used to beat up as a kid, and now he's your Lord and your Savior and brother of James. "To those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you." I just want to point out Jude's response to the revelation that Jesus Christ is not only his brother, but now his God, his Savior, and his Lord. And you go from, you know, these guys are what? Their dad was a carpenter. We don't know anything about them. Probably simple blokes who worked in the shop with their dad, or maybe they got caught up in the fishing industry, and they're just simple guys. And they come up with this incredible theology. And they, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and awakens you, suddenly you get an incredible revelation of who God is and what he's done in Christ. And it's so awesome that we have these texts preserved for us, that the Word of God preserved. And it is the Word of God. Don't believe it isn't. It is the Word of God. And we have this brother of Jesus' experience of Jesus himself and the love of God and the salvation of God. And he says this, to those who are called, loved, and kept. And those words are so powerful. So powerful. You responded to the call. If you're here today, you responded to the call. Maybe you haven't put your faith in Christ yet, but you're responding to the call that is on your life to come to Jesus. Okay? That's number one. We don't choose. You gotta hear the voice. He's calling you. Okay? And we gotta respond to that call. And many are called, but few are chosen, it says.
Right.
And you're loved. Friends, if I can get one thing into Christians, it's the love of God.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. Okay? Beloved. He uses this term multiple times in this text. It's not a loving text. But he wants to establish the saints in this church who are experiencing all kinds of issues of sexual immorality and false teaching and false prophets, people coming in and taking advantage of them, people coming in and extorting money from them to hear the gospel or some version of it. And what he's doing, because he's probably the pastor, the leader of this church, is he's establishing them in their faith and what they believe. And you need to know, and I need to know, number one, God called me. God called me. Okay? I responded by the grace of God to the voice that was calling me, come to me. Okay? When I came to him, what happens when you come to him? You realize the incredible love of Christ, that he laid down his life for you and took away your sins. And God demonstrates his own love for me in this, that while I am a sinner, Christ dies for me.
Amen. Okay?
That's the truth of the scripture. And I go, wow, Jesus. You know, when I first went back to the Catholic Church after saved and I saw Jesus on the cross, like, wow, it was overwhelming. It was overwhelming to think that you did that for me. You love me that much. God so loved the world,
yeah,
he gave his only son. God gave Jesus on that cross for you.
Right.
And friends, you need to be anchored in that love. Over and over, Paul says to be rooted and grounded in that love. Let it be the foundation of your faith, other than Christ himself. We need to know for certain that God loves us. It will solve a whole bunch of issues relationally. Okay? Who cares if that person loves me? I don't need their love.
Yep.
I got Jesus' love.
Amen.
And that's the most important love.
Right.
Okay? And he loves me so much, and he poured his love into my heart. And because of that, I can love him. And I can love others.
Right.
Even though they're them. Right?
Right.
Nicest way you can say it.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Listen, I didn't know any of you. I loved you, but I never loved you before.
Right.
Till now. Till the love of God has been poured into my heart. So he wants to anchor them in the truth. Called, love, and you're kept. This is a phenomenal word. You're kept. You're kept. It means someone's looking after you. Someone's keeping you. For what are they keeping you? They're keeping you for a special day that's coming. Okay? And the whole text, this is the groundwork he's laying out. Okay? You're kept for that day. For the day of his return. And I'm just so excited because it takes a lot of pressure off of me. Doesn't it? He's keeping me. Wow. Praise God. Verse 2 says this. Just to get a little more theological. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied unto you. Which implies they already have it. Okay? How did you get called, beloved, and kept? Because of God's mercy. And the moment you said yes to the mercy of God in Christ Jesus, you experience the peace of God.
Yeah.
Right? The peace between God. Romans 5:1, isn't it? That we have peace with God because of Jesus. Number one, this relationship is no longer enmity. There's no longer division and anger and separation. We are now one. God has called me into his presence, and he loved me so much, and he poured out his mercy. In the Old Testament, they use the word loving kindness. He's just so loving and kind. This is like the word has said in Hebrews, like, we don't know what to call it, how to translate. Let's just call it loving kindness. It's both. It's God's love and his kindness. He reaches down and he calls me and he brings me into his presence and says, Mike, we're at peace now because of my son. Okay? Don't fight God. Don't be mad at God. He's done everything to have a relationship with you, to bring you into his presence to have peace. Okay? And he says again, love. It's all love. Friends, it's the love of God that motivates him to do this. And you, in Christ, have experienced that. Are you with me? See, this is the anchor, because what he's telling them, what he's going to say in the letter, you'll see in verse 3, is there's a lot of stuff going on in the church and in the world. But I want you to be anchored in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he loves you, he called you, and he's going to keep you to the end. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Nothing, John says, can pluck me out of his hand. Okay? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8, the very end. All right. I want you to see verse 3, because this is why he writes. Beloved, again, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, you know, we all share this thing in common. If you have put your faith in Christ Jesus, then we are all saved because of his mercy, grace, and love. And he wanted to write that. He wanted to write about, guys, I just want to expound how awesome Jesus is and how awesome it is to know you and to be together with you, but I can't. That's the letter I want to write. This is the letter I have to write. I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. A lot of stuff going on in churches these days, friends. A lot of stuff, a lot of false teaching. People are hooked on it. You know, it's, I said last time, it's candy that rots your teeth. But it's very attractive to young people, to young believers. And if you keep chewing on that, it will destroy your life. It will destroy your teeth. You won't be able to chew meat, at the very least. But if you continue to follow, chew on the candy that's being out there, or the lies, what they're doing is, he literally says, they're taking the grace of God. God is so gracious and forgiving that we can basically do whatever we want. The grace of God is a license to live like hell. Okay? Cheap grace. There's a lot of cheap grace out there. God's not mad at you anymore. He doesn't care. You know, what you're bought and paid for, that's it. No, it's about holiness. It's about transformation, so that we don't do those things anymore. Anyway, this is what he says. Common salvation. Guys, we have experienced the salvation of God. All of us in this church, hopefully, have experienced the salvation of God, and I want you to focus on. That's what I really want to write on. But here it is. Contend earnestly. I felt necessary to write to you, appealing that you contend. The literal Greek is epagonizomai, which is like really strong, agonizing to hang on to what it is that you have. Because somebody wants to steal it.
Yeah.
That's literally what he says. Yeah. Guys, I want you to agonize fervently to keep what God has given you. Because there's a lot of people who want to steal it from you. That's the tone of the letter. And then from there, he's going to go into all these different Old Testament examples of what's happening in the church at his time. And it's happening even more so today. And he even says this. Just quickly, I'll jump to Verse 17. You, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time, the last days, there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. Can I just say something? And this will be a little bit of contention, because there's a teaching out there that Everything's going to get better, the world's going to be saved, and everybody's going to say, kumbaya, come to Jesus. That is not the teaching of the Scripture. It's just not. We're continually warned, like 2 Timothy 3, that in the last days, just like this, this is Jude writing, brother of Jesus, probably had a little inside information, it's going to get really bad. Right? Mockers, ungodly lusts, divisions, worldly-minded, no spirit. There's going to be people in the church, friends, in the church, who are living like this, who are causing division. And that's exactly what's happening today. And there's a teaching out there that, don't worry, God's in control, it's going to get better. No, it's not. It's not going to get better. Okay? Friends, look at what's happening today. You know, just to use, look at the world. We, you know, some of us live in our little boxes and we need to look out because the world is crazy. How right is it? Okay? It's crazy. I mean, look what's going on in Israel. Look what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. And that's just the stuff we see. But just for example, I mean, Alberto, Patty's going to Ecuador tonight to visit her family. So I heard last night when we were talking to them that they had water cut off and hydro cut off for 10 hours. Okay, because there's such a severe drought, they can't afford to keep hydro and water going all day long. Friends, while the rest of the world is flooding, we have droughts all over. We have so many things. The earth is groaning. Okay? It's unbelievable the sequence of events that's happening. It's not getting better. It looks like the world is unraveling and it's about to end. It's exactly what Scripture says. And Jesus is going to come and burn it all up and start over. New heaven and a new earth. Okay? And I always say, well, eat whatever you want. Don't worry about the environment. Because he's going to build it all new anyway. That's just a little tidbit for you who are a little worried about the climate. It's a money grab. That's free. I'll edit this out because this is really not part. But climate change is... If you know Jesus, you'll get a revolution.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but when you think about no power for 10 hours, like we don't live in Ukraine, but you think about no power for 10 hours, you don't have a phone. You can't cook unless you have a barbecue or a, right? You can't watch TV. You don't, like, all these things that we naturally have. There's no internet. You, right.
Someone else is dictating your schedule.
That's
yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's crazy.
They would go crazy.
They will.
Yes. Every day.
Yeah.
That doesn't include all the wars between the drug cartels,
right,
and
the
police, and
stealing,
the government,
yeah,
officials who lie and cheat. It's just, it's a world without Jesus.
Yes.
And we
good.
Have Jesus.
That's
and that's his point. He focuses him on Christ, okay? And that's where we need to focus. We need to be grateful that God has called us and chosen us and poured his mercy and love on us and revealed Christ to us, because we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is not our home.
Yes.
We're just passing through. We're aliens in a foreign land, just like the Bible says, okay? I keep telling myself that. Praise God. I don't even care about this body. I'm an alien in a foreign land. It's just a vessel I need to use to do God's work, okay? And like my wife doesn't like to hear that, because I do crazy things. So after listing, I'm going to get back into the sermon. After listing all the stuff that's happening in the church, and you can go through it on your own, he says this, you beloved, back to the original, right? Beloved, loved ones, you ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand. Sorry, that's verse 20. But you, beloved, verse 20, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Now, those two verses are packed full of great stuff that I just want to just give you a little snippet of. I'm not even going to go to these scriptures, okay? I do have my notes here somewhere. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's the command. Mm-hmm. Keep yourselves. Everything else is what we call a present participle. How do you keep yourselves in the love of God? By building, by praying, by waiting. Okay? We have a part. Even though we're kept, mm-hmm, we have a responsibility to keep ourselves.
That's right.
Okay? And let me just kind of put your mind at ease here if you're worried about how do I keep myself? I can't even look after them. Okay. Listen, it's God's power that is at work within us.
That's right.
Ephesians 3:20. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can keep going. I can keep building on my holy faith. Okay, let's just look at these. We need, first of all, to have an attitude of gratitude. Say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I am so cherishing what you have done for me and so in love with you that I don't want anything to come between you and me or anything to come between the salvation that I'm experiencing now and the salvation I'm going to experience in the future. I'm in it. I'm all in till the end, okay, till you come. And I'm going to do everything in my power like you've commanded to get myself to the end. Even though you're keeping me, you want me to do these things. And I praise God that you're giving me the power to do it. Okay? Number one, I'm going to build on my faith. Building yourselves up in your most holy faith. There's only one way to do that. Do you know the faith? Do you know what your faith is? Do you know in whom your faith is? Okay? Do you know in whom you have believed? Like Paul says. And I'm convinced of what I believe. Why? Because I spend time in the Word of God, and I read it, and I see it, and I read commentaries, and I listen to people teach on it, and I'm convinced that this is what the Bible says about my faith. It's trustworthy. Jesus came to save sinners, of which I was the foremost. Okay? He came to save me. And he's going to keep me to the end, and I'm going to continue to believe and receive and follow his direction until he comes. Okay? That's what it means to build your faith. Yesterday with the men, we looked at 1 Corinthians 3, and all there, it's all about building. You can go there. I can send you these. I can post them on the internet, too. I usually do put the PowerPoint up. You can go look at yourselves. You can look up all these scriptures. But he says in 1 Corinthians 10, or 3, that our foundation is Jesus Christ. Okay? You cannot build anything in the Christian life without first having your foundation as Jesus Christ. Is what floats your boat, who floats your boat? Jesus Christ. Okay? Is he the foundation of your life? That's number one. Ephesians 2:20 is, it's built on the apostles and prophets. It's built on the teaching of the Word of God. Okay? Number two. And I read you 2:6-7. Do we have this thanksgiving for what God has done? You know, I think gratitude is a foundation for living a Christian life. I really believe it needs to be the very bottom. And you build upon gratitude. You can't lose that. Okay, so what are you building on? That's number one. Praying in the Holy Spirit. This does not necessarily mean speaking in tongues. Okay? Doesn't mean that necessarily, but that's probably part of it. So building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. If you look up these scriptures, a lot of them talk about praying with thanksgiving. Yeah. Okay? Like, let's go to 1 Thessalonians, just real quick. You don't have to, I'll just read to you. It's really cool. Clear as... Doesn't get it clear in this.
1 Thessalonians 1.
5:16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, in everything giving thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay? And then the others say that too, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. I learned this week as I was studying that praying in the Holy Spirit means praying with thanksgiving. You cannot come to God without being thankful, right? And if you're not thankful, you need to get yourself there. Sometimes David in the Psalms, which are prayers and songs, they would be like really having a hard time, and you know, never really questioning God, but just I feel like this, and I'm crying all night, and I can't get over it. But by the end, he's like back rooted in the salvation of the Lord. Right? You gotta get there. You gotta get to a point where I praise you, Lord, for your deliverance. The Lord is my helper, my ever-present help in time of need. Like, it's just I'm focusing on God. I'm praising God that he's in my life. Okay? That's a really good way to stay, to keep yourself in the love of God. Do you know Romans 5:5? What does it say?
God has poured his love
Yes, God has put his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Okay, if you want to experience the love of God, you need to have an intimate relationship with Holy Spirit. He's not an it, people. He's God. He's God. Okay? He's the third person of the Trinity. He's God Almighty. And he wants to be Lord of your life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, Galatians 5. Okay? There's freedom from what? Condemnation. The Spirit of God brings the love of God into our hearts. Okay? How do you keep yourself in the love of God? Allow Holy Spirit to tell you the truth. Okay? God loves you.
Believe it.
Receive it. John 14, 15 and John 15, 10. It's really cool. I just saw this so cool this morning. I thought they said the same thing, but they don't. So I'll just read it to you. John 14, 15. I said I wasn't going to do this, but I just can't. But if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Watch this. 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Isn't that cool? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? You obey Jesus. You read his word. You read what he said to you. The Sermon on the Mount, by the way, which the ladies are starting next Thursday, is the kingdom commandments for staying in the kingdom, for obedience to the king. That's what they are. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is. We have them up there, 75 commands of Jesus to stay in his love. And so his love stays in you. And he says, in the last, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life. This is phenomenal. It's all through the scriptures. I put some there. Are you eagerly expecting the return of Jesus? It says, these scriptures say, everyone who loves Jesus and is born of him eagerly expects to see him. Okay? And friends, like, you just got to surround yourself with crazy, wacko Christians once in a while. Because they're looking at the world and they're going, it must be close. He's coming back. And Paul said, we need to love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Can you not wait to see Jesus? Because if you can't wait to see Jesus, guess what? You're focused on the right thing. And you're keeping yourself in the love of God, waiting to see Jesus face to face. That's how I... Listen, it's just so true. If you're just dying to see someone, you'll go through anything to get that to that place of seeing them. Will you not?
Yeah.
Right? Some people will spend thousands of dollars on tickets and fly across the world to see Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Nothing compared to Jesus. Nothing.
Amen.
Okay? Oh, man. We know the King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. You know, my mom used to, she went to see Elvis one.
Oh, right.
I'll never forget that.
Cats out of the bag.
I was jealous because we used to listen to Elvis. There's one record we used to play. And I remember, no, this is good, because I was not a Christian at the time. And it's a live recording of one of his concerts. And he would say, King of, and he would say, stop. I'm not the king. Jesus is.
Amen.
I mean, he hung around with a lot of gospel singers in his day. He even made a gospel album or three. And I don't know where he is now. I mean, his life took a bad turn, but I believe because he was surrounded constantly by the Gator guys, all these old country singers and everything, gospel singers. I think he really tried as much as he could to keep himself till that day. Okay? Because that was his faith. His mother was a believer. So, anyway, I don't know why I went there, but I just want you to know that it is possible, even for someone in that whole environment, to kind of like remember whose you are and who is in you. Okay? Yeah, Alice Cooper. There's another one.
You're talking to another. No.
Rock and roll.
I had a pretty hip mom.
Coolest mom ever.
Yeah, she took me to that one. That was super fun. That would be the least.
But if we're looking forward to that day, then isn't that what makes all of the hard things we need to go through to get there light and temporary?
Amen.
This is my wedding day. This is what I've been working towards. And if I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do it, it's okay, because he's coming back. That's a comfort.
That's the mature response, right? That's the response of a believer who's really kind of anchored in the return of Christ and what the word says. It takes a while again when you get like bad news or when you experience something that's really hard. Mm-hmm. Often that's not our default. It kind of knocks us off and we need to get ourselves back.
That's right.
Yeah. Let me go to verses. See, this is our part. What we had up here was our part. Here's God's part. I love this. Verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. Wow. What a power-packed passage. He's able to keep you from stumbling or falling. He's able to make you stand blameless in his presence. That is so phenomenal, to me anyway. Not only are we keeping ourselves, but God is ultimately keeping us. It's a load off your shoulders. Okay? And all you need to really do to make it to the end is stay close to God. Stay close to the Holy Spirit. He's going to keep you. He's going to keep you. And by the way, a little Greek, the two words, two keeps, are different words. The keep is the first keep. Keep yourself in the love of God is literally watch out. Watch out. Like, be aware of what's around you and watch out how the enemy's trying to get you. Okay? That's what that word means. This word here, God, him is able to keep you, it literally means guard. He's able to guard you from the stuff that might assail you. You keep yourself away from the stuff that's going to affect you, and he'll guard so none of that stuff gets in. Okay? That's a cool picture, right? That's his part and our part together. Now, to him who's able to keep you from stumbling, from falling, from tripping. I love this. Make you stand in the presence of his glory. Friends, here's the goal of our faith. Why do we spend so much time? Like, why do we meet? Why do we sing songs? Why do we encourage each other? Because we need to be focused. It's about refocusing ourselves when life is like full of all kinds of stuff. It's coming together and saying, our eyes are on Jesus. I love him so much. He's my focus. I'm going to be with him one day, and I can't wait to get there, and God's going to get me there. And all the stuff I'm struggling with now, you know, maybe there's sin, and I just can't seem to get over it. I'm trying and trying, and God says, you'll be blameless. You'll be blameless. God is perfecting his bride, okay? He's getting rid. Just allow him to do his work. He will perfect you. Okay? He will perfect you. And you will stand blameless in his throne room before him. And here's the good news. Like, if you think you're struggling and it's tough being a Christian and you're kind of down with all that's going on, the payoff is great joy. Inexpressible and full of glory. Okay? That's what's waiting for us. And that alone should keep us going.
Amen.
Right? And I'm going to read the verses in between, verse 21 and 23. 22, have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Here's the other responsibility we have to our brothers and sisters who are just having a hard time in life. And maybe Satan's got a foothold in their life and they're kind of struggling in sin. They've been captivated by some of the teaching out there that's going on in the church, literally. Our job, have mercy. Number one, just like God had on us, have mercy. Have love and kindness for them. save others, snatching them out of the fire. Some people really, really got to get serious with and say, I'm pulling you out of that. Because if you keep going, it's lights out. It's over. Okay? We need to be that kind of church who love and walk with people. I haven't done all of that in the past very well, but I'll tell you, when you stay in the scriptures, you realize that you've got to kick it up a notch, right? Hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. What the motto, it's coming to me now, the motto of the men's thing is
Promise keepers,
thank you, leave no man behind, right? I think we need to live like that. We really love our brothers and sisters. We need to do the tough thing to keep, take them with us, to keep them in the narrow path so that they can experience the keeping power of Jesus. Maybe momentarily they have been taken by the enemy, and we need to be the ones to say, oh, Jesus loves you. We need to remind them of all the truths of love and mercy and kindness and grace and say, guys, come back. Come back to Jesus. Okay? Anyway, the point of this is just to encourage us. I think Jude, seeing all the problems in the church, is saying it's about Jesus. It's about you loving him. It's about him loving you and keeping you to the end. And if we live like that, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Not necessarily because of us, because he's awesome. And I really want us to get a hold of the fact that Jesus is coming back. If you read the New Testament, they really lived in the reality of Jesus coming back. Like every book talks about it. And you know, the Thessalonians are probably the quintessential church. There was a teaching there, bad teaching, that Jesus had already come, so Paul sets them straight. He's coming. You're going to hear the trumpet. You're going to see the clouds, okay? And you're going to see Jesus coming on the clouds. And he's coming for you. And you're going to be, poof, gone, if you belong to him. So the question is, today, do I belong to him? Do I love him? Has he called me? Has he revealed himself to me? Do I sense his call even now? And do I need to get in line with him and what he's doing on planet Earth? Am I really ready to see him? Right? That's the call. And for us who already know him, it's keep going. Keep remaining strong. Persevere till the end. Right? Don't let anybody trip you up. Because God will keep you from stumbling. That's a great verse you should probably put on your fridge. And the whole motivation is, God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, be glory and majesty. I want to stand before him one day, just like we sung. And just go, Jesus, you're worthy. You're awesome. And all dominion, power, and glory belongs to you. Thank you for getting me to the finish line. I want to tell him. I want to meet him face to face. And so I encourage you, get to know Jesus. Spend time in his word, like that was 2 weeks ago. Spend time in his word. And it will start to give you that excitement to see Jesus. Amen. I'm done. I'm just going to say. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Here's the good news, too. You should tell somebody else.
Yeah.
The more you fall in love with Jesus, the less you can keep it all to yourself. You just got to share. Any last thoughts?
Mike, I need to read 2 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
Amen.